Now, I don't say this often.
He's going to be a wild card in the league.
Welcome back to the Wild Cards Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Coleman Mallon. I'm joined here today with my fellow co-host,
Joshua Sykes.
Brandon Harkey.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is a very important day, not only for us, the hosts and the co-hosts of the Wild Cards Podcast, but for a lot of people in Kentucky, it is also a very big day. Recently, or I guess in the past week, I think it was Sunday night when the first like rumors started swirling around on Reddit and Twitter and all the message boards that are unfortunately, you know, pay to view, which is unbelievable to me. But side note, anyway, and Calipari, John Calipari, it was like, oh, there's no way. But there's the rumor that he was going to leave for Arkansas. And it turned out a couple hours later, it was confirmed. So John Calipari got poached pretty much by Arkansas. Reports came out that he was offered a contract that was just, you know, you can't turn that down. Cal had already been, you know, trying to leave. Reports came out after that he wanted to go to UCLA back in 2019. And he was even earlier this year considering to go to Ohio State, which I also really can't fathom. And he was thinking about that during the year. Reports about people close to Cal said that. So basically, Cal left. He is now the head coach at the University of Arkansas, which, you know, I'm kind of, Josh and I are kind of like on the fence about, or I mean, it's not even on the fence. I'm disappointed because Cal was someone that, like, as a UK basketball fan, he's kind of been the face of Kentucky since I was born. He was hired in 2009. That's around the time, maybe a little bit beforehand when I was like, or maybe a little after when I was able to like be sentient to basketball and college. And the first time I ever remember watching a Kentucky basketball game, which is the UConn championship where we lost 2011. And Cal was the coach. So my very first memory of college basketball was with Cal in it. So it's just weird to see him gone. Josh, you have anything to add about that?
You know, I want everybody to take a moment of silence for John Calipari and his 15 years. Nah, screw that. Mark Pope season, baby. We on
yes,
the
sir. Mark Pope is the new head coach of Kentucky men's basketball. And that is like, could come to a surprise to some people. Because, I mean, you know, Mark Pope is not a name that jumps into everyone's head. A lot of people probably don't know who the hell he coached for. And I should probably not say hell because he did coach for BYU. So he was a coach for BYU. Before that, he was a assistant at Georgia. And I think he also was it Milwaukee doing something or something like that. And yeah, I think there was a transition school in there somewhere. But before that, he was a Kentucky Wildcat. So this is a player, a former player, who won a national championship on the coach by Rick Pitino. And Rick Pitino had some strong words and support for him today. Sent out a little Twitter message saying that he had his full support and hopes he does great things. Which I think a lot of the fans were very disappointed seeing that news break last night on Twitter. It was Thursday night when it was actually Thursday morning.
Don't you mean you were upset last night?
I was upset. I was very upset. Okay, listen, this is why I'm upset, because Kentucky men's basketball is like the pinnacle of basketball, right? At least college basketball. We all know the Wolves are the pinnacle of the NBA. All
right, buddy.
No, but listen. Both teams are blue. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but Kentucky is really. They are the blue blood. And I'm biased. What? I don't care. They're the blue blood.
Oh, where are
Brandon, don't act like Michigan State is in this conversation.
I'm not saying Michigan State. I'm just saying like UCLA, Kansas. I mean,
UCLA hasn't been relevant in 33 decades, bro.
So they still have their. It's all about legacy.
It's not about their legacy is winning against players who, like, this is like before basketball came out, really. It's just not even like a real.
They were still putting peach in the hoop. They were still doing the peach basket stuff.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I don't think no one considers UCLA. UCLA is 1B. Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, and who am I missing? UNC are 1A. UConn? And maybe even UConn. UConn is 1A. I think that's but of those, I mean, Kentucky has 8 championships. We're going to get number 9 next year. It's just like, but no, that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that
we're going to make 9, 10, and 11 3 years straight. First three-peat ever.
A lot of what I was going for, I guess, in my last statement was that a lot of people were not happy with the hire. And what I was trying to say was yesterday, I woke up and the news was that Scott Drew had turned down the offer. So we went from Scott Drew, and then we found out later in the day that we had made a record-breaking offer to
Dan Hurley, who is the UConn coach, which we'll talk about later because that national championship game also happened this weekend. And he turned that down. It was the biggest offer ever to a college coach, and it turned it down. I think it was $100 million for
8 years.
8 years.
It was 12 and a half a year.
Which definitely, let's be real, the Kraft family, which is the biggest booster for UK, Joe Kraft, I think they're in the coal business. It would have been more than that. If it was a matter of money, they would have made it happen. And Hurley decided that he wanted to stay at UConn, which is understandable, right? Because they just won back to back. Okay, it's not understandable for the
UConn. That is generational wealth, brother.
Sure.
That is like, no.
But I understand from someone gave this perspective to me. The difference between someone like your average person making what was the average, let's say the average salary is $50,000, which I think with inflation is probably similar. Let's just say you're making the average salary. If someone were to go and double that, right? That would be life changing. If you're the average person making $50,000 a year, something like that. I don't know what it is. I don't want to be like the average is like that when it's really not, but you know what I'm trying to say. If you're a coach who's making I think his contract right now is $5 million a year, which I'm sure he'll try to leverage for more since he just won back-to-back championships. The amount of money that difference is, sure, it's generational wealth, but if $5 million isn't already generational wealth, then I don't know where you're really going to go from there. Like, what do you want? 100 mil? Like, at that point, there's not really anything else you can do. In my opinion, I'm sure there's people that could like do more. If you're like a businessman or something, you can do more, but he's a coach, right? He's not trying to buy as many properties to sell for profit or
he was about to be a 1/10 of a billionaire.
Sure.
Less than a decade.
I'm sure that UConn will. And I know UConn's state system with their universities is a little different with how they approach pay, but in that it has to be passed in the government, I think, actually, which is like just a unique thing about Connecticut. But I'm sure he's going to get paid, not as much as he would have at Kentucky, but I think it was a family decision, just like it was with Scott Drew. Scott Drew said it was his faith that drove him to stay in Waco, which, you know.
You know, God told me something differently, so I don't know where
he's. What did he tell you, Josh?
He told me Scott Drew was going to lead us to the promised land, but, you know, maybe my signals got crossed with my emotions.
It must have.
So. I respect his decision though. Scott Drew is a good guy.
There's nothing really if you disagree with it or agree with it, there's not really anything you can do to tell a man whose faith drove him to do something. It's whatever. It is what it is. He's not going to change his mind. I know he had at least one what's the word called for your kids? There you go. Jesus. He had one child, at least one at Baylor, and then a couple at high school. It's like, it's hard to make that transition. So I understand.
His daughter was at Baylor. And he had two sons in high school.
And I think they're building like a house in Waco too, probably with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Oh my God. Chip, he cracked me up on Twitter. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. There was a lot of dialogue. Chip was like, we need him to stay. And he did. So, So Scott, the point I'm trying to make is that I woke up thinking Dan Hurley or Scott Drew could be the coach, and then I went to bed knowing that Mark Pope was going to be the coach. So that's just like how things changed in a day. It kind of made me disappointed because there's proven coaches out there, and we got Mark Pope. But as the night progressed and I like began to read more and look at his history, I mean, this is a guy, he's a smart guy, right? He dropped out of medical school at Columbia University, one of the most prestigious medical schools in the world, in his third year. That's like after, I think he was on a scholarship, but that's after most people pay like upwards of a couple $100,000 in debt. If you're the normal, I'm sure he got something, but
he's pretty much doing residency at that point. He pretty much is like, yo, screw these people patience wise. And I'm just like, I don't like working with people.
Well, okay. Well, I don't think that's how, I think what he said was, no. And I know you're joking, but I think his thing was like, he can't live without coaching. And that's it's an incredible decision to leave a position like that when you're at a prestigious, on a path, all that, you know, the whole thing. So I think that speaks to him, and overall, I'm just excited for his coaching. I'm sure it's gonna be a rocky ride at first. I mean, Kentucky might not be getting the top five recruiting class every year like we did with Cal, but I think the teams will be better just because I think Cal goes for guys who have more stars, and Pope goes for guys who will make themselves into a better team. That's my opinion, and that's what I hope for. Any last opinions about the Cal, Tucky, Pope thing, Brandon, Josh?
I mean, Brandon, you're an outsider. Yeah. What do you
think? Insight into this, because we've just been yapping.
I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, obviously, Dan Hurley was never going to go to Kentucky as much as Coleman would have sold his soul for that. Scott Drew probably had a chance. I mean, Mark Pope, he's not bad. I think I can't remember if BYU won their first round game or didn't.
They did. No, they lost to Duquesne. Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. So I chose that upset. Put that out there.
And Brennan, guess how many tournament wins Mark Pope has?
Two.
Zero.
that's how many Kentucky has in the last 5 years. So I think
we have one, brother. We have one.
Oh yeah, last year. Come on.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
Providence, Rhode Island, a very prestigious university, and we took him down handily. So I just want to put that up.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you. I think this is just like it's obviously a new era in Kentucky. Like Coleman said, John Calipari, you know, he knows how to get like those recruits who will go to like the NBA, like most of, you know, great Kentucky point guards do. And I just think it'll be different for Kentucky fans not having, you know, all of the great recruits. But I think if Mark Pope, you know, can leverage and use Kentucky's name and just throw money at these kids, I think Kentucky, you know, can maybe win a chip in the next 5 years if everything goes right.
Sure. Like I think that's all anyone can ask for, to have a coach who, if you know things align correctly, has the potential to lead someone to a championship. And that's what I think people were worried about. I think people were like, is this really giving us the best option? And there was other guys on the table like Billy Donovan, who won back-to-back national championships with Florida, the most recent to do it before, obviously, UConn did it recently. So, and I guess with that, we should just move on into that because that's our next topic. UConn wins back-to-back national championships, Dan Hurley at the helm. And these are guys, like, these are teams with, like, it's not full of five stars. And that's what I hope. Oh, no.
There's only one five star.
Yeah. No, I don't think there was a single final five star in the final four.
One on UConn, the Castle kid.
I don't think he was a five-star coming out of high school.
He may have been a four-star. I don't know.
I think he was a five-star transfer because they ranked the transfers too. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure there was no originally committed to that university five-star in the Final Four. Alabama, UConn, NC State, and Purdue. So just to put that out there, five-star aren't everything in college basketball. They might be everything in the league. And they're not even...
No, Stephon Castle was a five-star.
Okay, then yeah, I stand corrected. But just one... right?
Yeah, it was just I think he was the only one. They only had one five star in the recruiting class.
Just crazy. So yeah, I apologize. I was wrong. And we did an internal wild card league for fantasy or I guess not fantasy, March Madness brackets. It was Brandon, his brother, his dad, myself, Josh, a couple of our friends, and Brandon's brother, couple people, because I think we didn't do a podcast that week. So we didn't have time to set it up. But the results were that Brandon's dad proved victorious, and he won. He took it home.
I actually think I'm gonna put it to a vote. We replaced Brandon with his dad because
I'm
dad
down.
Obviously has more ball knowledge than him.
Yep,
it didn't get passed down, so I don't it know what not. Happened there.
Obviously not, because Brandon and his brother both were at the bottom. So Tyler and Brandon, you guys got to hit the book, study.
But that's not to say like Josh and I did any better, because we also did not do well.
So. Well, I did pick Kentucky to win it all, so I think that kind of hindered my bracket a little bit.
Just a little bit, you know. I'll do it, and then obviously I think Brandon's dad picked UConn, so that, props to him. Because I mean, man,
who could have seen that one coming?
Yeah, I think it was a good pick. Because no, hey, listen, I think it was a good pick. I would not have picked UConn before. Maybe I did, but I wouldn't have picked them to like just outright win. I thought for sure that it was going to be Arizona. I don't know. That was just my opinion. I thought Arizona was built for it. And I know UConn had the potential, but I didn't think that Hurley had it in him to go back to back. And now I am knowledgeable of the talent of Dan Hurley to win games with not five stars. So there's that out of the way. Who wants to talk about Josh Allen? Not Bill's Josh Allen.
I'll talk about Josh Allen. You know, Kentucky, great. You know, led us to our first 10-win season in how many years?
300.
I was thinking 500.
Shut your mouth, brother. anyway, Kentucky, great, you know, product of Mark Stoops recruiting a three-star player and turning him into an all-pro. He signs a five-year, $150 million deal, $88 million guaranteed with the Jaguars. I would say a top five pass rusher in the league. Maybe, I mean, I'd put him up there. He did have the single season Jags record of sacks. I think it was 15 and a half last year. So, I mean, he's on a roll right now. The Jags need everything they can get because their division's getting really, really heavy, and it's really hard to win in there. So, yeah, congrats to Josh Allen. That's generational wealth right there, brother.
Yes, indeed. Moving on, we got Brandon, story about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. This is some interesting stuff, Brandon. Let's
go. Yeah, so Shohei's ex-interpreter, obviously, I cannot pronounce his name because it is fully Japanese, and I'm just, you know, a Florida boy, so I don't want to make myself look stupid. But
yeah, cut him some slack, guys.
Well, you just did, so go ahead.
His ex-interpreter, he turned himself into the feds after he apparently, you know, was stealing money from Shohei Ohtani to pay off his gambling debts. He owes Shohei $16 million. And I saw a thing that I want to say he had bet over somewhere over $160 million.
Yeah.
And he won $145.
I think it's pretty good.
So, I mean, he was winning.
I mean, pretty good. No, he was winning, but he didn't win enough to break even.
A few of those were locks, though.
Okay, I'm sure he had some good locks, but dude, I think that's a 20 mil loss. I mean, that's
just to put that out there to our viewers, don't gamble unless it's a lock. Unless
Okay. No. Never gamble unless it's against.
Unless it's a lock.
But yeah, unless it's like, actually no, I can't even like make a joke.
Unless it's like Phoenix playing Minnesota.
All right. Calm down. All right, we'll see tonight because they play tonight. We'll get to that when we talk about our games. What's happening with the Masters, guys?
Right now, I think Tiger, last time I stopped watching it, it was Tiger was one over, that means he's even on the day. He was one over at the end of his first round. Let's see. I'm looking at the leaderboard right now. He is one over through 16. The leader is Bryson DeChambeau. He's even today, but he shot 7 under yesterday. Scottie Scheffler is tied with him. He shot 1 under today. He's at 7 under as well. And Max Homa is at 6 under right now through 15. Really, Max Homa was looking good. He's in a pairing with Tiger. He's been playing very, very good. He's 1 under on the day, like I said. Tiger, he's looking good. You know, he's having some tough shots. His second shots aren't the greatest, but he's making up with it with a short game. Yeah, I mean, Brandon, who else have you been watching? Have you watched anyone else?
No, I was going to ask Brandon, like, who's been the most surprising? Brandon knows golf. You guys know golf way more than I do.
I mean, obviously, to me, the most surprising is Bryson DeChambeau, only because I watch the PGA Tour, I don't watch LIV Golf. And, you know, I'm looking at this list, and he's, like, one of the big names from LIV Golf to come over and, you know, dominate still. I'd say one of the more disappointing stories is Jordan Spieth. I don't know, like, what's happened to him these past couple of years, but as of right now, he's 9 over through 14. So he's not, you know, that's 2 over today. I really wish, you know, he was just doing better because he has won the Masters tournament before. And another one that's disappointing is Rory McIlroy, only because this is, like, the one that he cannot win. If he does win the Masters, he completes a Grand Slam and he's been in the Masters, I think it's 10 times, and he just hasn't won, whereas Tiger, you know, has won 5 times. And Tiger Woods, I would say, is the most surprising for me because...
Is that he's doing well? Is it surprising?
I mean, one over. Like, he's beating, like, you know, he's doing better than John Rahm, who was a big
he's
name.
He's tied with Justin Thomas.
Victor Hovland, you know, Shane Lowry. He's, you know, he's competing and he's, you know, all these injuries that he's had, these car accidents, all these surgeries, you know, just for him to be able to go out here and play great golf is just
that's good. Crazy. Yeah. And yeah, we all know that Tiger Woods was taking some, you know, precautionary, I should say, measures before his tournament. So it's good to see that those might be playing off, you know, and as he gets up there in age and, you know. Not some more controversial, I guess, news. Is it even controversial?
Can I say this?
Sure, go for it.
You know, yesterday,
here we go.
Broncos, the Broncos that drive around, you know, the, I don't know who makes the Bronco. Who makes the Bronco?
Ford?
Okay, I was making sure I wasn't going to say it wrong. You know, the Ford Broncos driving around yesterday were at half mass.
All right.
Because the person that made him famous, O.J. Simpson, has died at the age of 76 due to prostate cancer. I mean, prayers to his family. It's hard to go through a loss like that. So, yep, that's about it. That's all in that statement. Unless you want to add something, Coleman.
I'll add. I think there's most people know the baggage that comes along with talking about a guy like O.J. Simpson, and all the stuff that he wasn't just alleged of doing, but probably, you know.
Do you think he did it?
Probably.
Reddit, do you think so?
I mean, if the glove doesn't fit, man.
And hey, Will, I think we could also go. We don't need to ask O.J. Simpson because he's already weighed in on that. He says he avoids to this day. Well, I guess yesterday that he avoided Los Angeles because he always felt like he could be sitting next to whoever did it. So I think that just speaks to his alleged incident or innocence.
Oh, he didn't want to sit next to a mirror. Is that what he?
I don't know. I think, and obviously one of the most infamous court cases of all time, just situations of all time, bizarre, sad, and honestly I think it's been long enough to where we can say like slightly, no, I don't know if I can say funny, but you know what I mean. It's confusing, and that's what brings the funny aspect to it. It's not funny like what happened, but it's definitely funny that the outcome and how things have resulted since. So obviously you never want to see anyone die, but there's definitely some like context to his whole story. So yeah, there's that.
I don't know if this like means anything, but I was watching this like on SportsCenter when it first came out, and SportsCenter put on this guy, like this news guy, and he was telling the story, and he's like, you know, honestly, and he like said like the reporter's name, you know, I'm not gonna be sad today. Like he's a murderer. And then they just took him off the air. And I was like, bro.
That's crazy.
That's a fair point, though.
Breaking news. BYU shooting guard Jackson Robinson, 6'7", shooting guard, fifth-year graduate, expected to transfer to Kentucky.
There you go. The first big piece, Mark Pope adds. And you heard it here first, or I guess kind of corroborated.
We're breaking news here.
On the Wild Cards podcast, even though it wasn't our direct reporting. It was. Josh did some very investigative reporting on Twitter. So our journalists do the best work here at the Wild Cards podcast. We scroll Twitter the fastest. We have the fastest refreshes on the Twitter page to see the latest news that we find. So I want to just shout out Josh there with the quick fingers. But moving on, we got Drew Holiday re-signing with the Celtics, getting a little extension action. $135 million for 4 years. Now, I'm not a Celtics fan by any means, but it's hard to undermine the defensive and playmaking impact that Drew Holiday has on the floor. There's just not going around it. Obviously, the Celtics are one of the craziest super teams. This year's Celtics, I should say, are they one of the craziest super teams ever formed, in my opinion. Just because they have players that get made fun of doesn't mean that they aren't a great team, an outstanding team, really, and obviously the clear runaway favorite to win the title. When you have a team that's this good and that has expectations to win the title, I don't think I remember a team besides maybe when the Warriors were playing, that or maybe the 16 Warriors, that had expectations to win the title like this ever. And even before the Warriors, I don't know if there was a team like this, because listen, anything less than a championship is a bust for this team. Literally, you could take a team to seven games in the Eastern Conference Finals and it's a bust. You could take a team to seven games in the finals and it's a bust. If you don't, and I'll even go as far as to say, if you don't win the NBA Finals in five games, this year's 2023 to 2024 Celtics have been a bust. Is that a fair take or no?
You're saying if they don't win the finals?
If they don't win the finals in five games.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, because obviously like the finals is like, it's the best East versus best West. Five games is a little crazy, but
I don't think it is.
I would say if they don't win the finals, then it's definitely a failure.
Okay.
I mean, you could say that for most teams, but.
Sure, but they're paying so much money.
They put the most money into a team, and yes, to like lose is just not good.
And speaking of that money, Brandon, how long do you think, how big is this window? How long do the Celtics really have left? Especially with the Jaylen Brown situation, which is a whole other thing.
Jaylen Brown. I don't know when Jason Tatum's due for...
Tatum's due in 26, 27.
So that's your window.
Yeah, I would.
Sure.
I don't think you could pay Porzingis, so I can give him until 2027.
Okay, so listen to this.
That might be a little egregious.
yeah. I mean, obviously, if they had the choice, they're going to take Tatum over Brown unless something crazy happens. Yeah, God forbid, injury.
They'll try to trade Brown, and then
I think, but who's going to? They're going to have to let him go. I'm not going to lie. No one's picking up that let's say they trade him next year. There's still, I think, $250 million guaranteed.
Somebody like the Rockets or like the Wizards might pick him up. I don't know.
I mean, he's a great player, obviously. Like that, I'm just saying the contract that he got is so.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Celtics didn't make that, if they somehow find a way to give him less than that, I think that they would have the opportunity to have an actual, actual dynasty for like 5-6 years. That one move has prevented that. It just eliminated that option unless they find some terrible team. Or some, absolute bum general manager to agree to a trade or something that alleviates this contract. No one's going to pick that up in their right mind.
Honestly, I don't know why they paid him that much with somebody that doesn't have a left hand.
That was before the allegations.
No, dude, the allegations always been there.
No, I back in college, he had a pretty good left hand at Cal. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, I don't know. I'm just really nervous for the Celtics because I'm just looking at what they're paying Jalen, and it just keeps getting bigger each year. So he's getting paid this year 31.8, next year 49.7.
Jesus.
It gets worse. Next year 53.6, then it goes to 57, then to 61, and then it caps things off, ladies and gentlemen, at a grand total of $65.6 million per year in the last year, 28 to 29.
God.
In that year, he's the only person
who made that contract.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Is that Brad Stevens? Bro needs to be fired.
I think it was. I think that's when that's like a anywhere else. That's a legacy defining signing. It's like kind of the same thing with Mitch Barnhart.
Signing Kobe.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if you pay Kobe that much in today's NBA. Prime Kobe. I don't give anyone that. Okay, realistically, no player should be worth. I mean, what's the salary cap these days?
Devin Booker's up.
You're right. I think you should pay Devin Booker
what?
80. And obviously,
he is pretty much the Suns brand at this point.
The only reason Jaylen Brown's getting that much is obviously because it's obviously because like it increases each year. So the first couple years, they weren't paying him as much. But that's a thing. And 65.6 won't look as I think it's like in some ways I can see what they are doing. And if it was Brad Stevens, was it Brad Stevens? Was that it? Must have been.
Yeah, I think you're the GM. So
yeah, well, I don't know if you what went into that. I should research that more. But I'm pretty sure it was. And obviously, more people had input on the call, but 65.6 in 28 to 29 is not going to be 65.6 in 23, 24. Okay, there's going to be inflation. There's going to be all that stuff. The salary cap is going to increase. The luxury tax rules might be different. There might be more aprons, and obviously the Celtics can afford to go dive into those aprons if they're going to add more or extend the range of the current ones. So there is room. Like they have time for the things to fall in place. I'm not saying that they're completely out. Well, I kind of almost just did, but it's just so daunting to look at 65.6.
But do they do that for Jaylen Brown if they don't have a Jason Tatum? Because Jaylen Brown is not a superstar by himself.
Oh, definitely not.
He's like young Robin to Batman.
I think that it would be much different if the 26-year-old, the younger, might I add, because sometimes I forget that Jason Tatum is younger than Jaylen Brown. If that contract was on him, not by much, but if that contract was on him, the 26-year-old Jason Tatum, I think it would be less. Jason Tatum would be clowned more, like just in general, by the general NBA fan public.
I don't know though. I mean, Jason Tatum would deserve more of that money.
He definitely deserves more. Jason Tatum should have that contract, and obviously things didn't line up that way, and no one can predict the future. But he should have that contract because I would rather have a guy like Jason Tatum have that contract to be able to negotiate with. It's harder to negotiate someone picking up that contract with Jaylen Brown than it is Jason Tatum, who's a superstar.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Brennan? What are the Celtics going to do in 2 years? Or are they just going to blow it up? I mean,
I think in 2 years, I think they probably Porzingis will be gone
for sure.
Tingus Pingus, obviously.
Who the hell is Tingus Pingus? And one of the best NBA videos of all time. And speaking, dude, the draft's coming up.
Yeah. I would say they probably re-sign Tatum to probably give him the biggest deal in NBA history and try to get rid of Jaylen Brown to, I'd say, the Blazers or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to be a team that doesn't or has it in complete rebuild mode who can, I guess, afford to do that. I mean, It's going to have to be a special situation. So I wish them luck. We kind of, or I guess it was kind of my fault, but we kind of left on that one for a while or lingered on that. Moving on. Does anyone want to talk about Rashee Rice, which we spoke about in the last podcast? A little update.
I guess I can. Rashee Rice, obviously, coming off his rookie year with the Chiefs, you know, just won the Super Bowl and everything. He was, you know, he ran away from an alleged car accident. I mean, it was a car accident, but, like, people didn't know it was him at first. We just assumed because it was his car. But he has officially turned himself into the police after he was wanted. There was a warrant out for his arrest. And, yeah, sad to see all these young players just doing no good. But we talked about that last week, so
sure,
there's not much to talk about.
No, no need to reiterate, I guess. Yeah. Thank you, Brennan. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it's like, oh, no, we said we were not going to reiterate. If you want to find out our thoughts, you go to the last podcast. But, yeah, moving on, we got NBA draft stuff. Like I was just talking about, it's coming up. I think it's in June. When was it last year? Because they do the drawing before.
I think it's June, yeah.
Because I remember watching like the draw. I feel like the drawing is almost more fun than the
lottery. Not for Pistons.
Definitely not for Pistons fans. Because if they're the worst team in the league, they always get like the eighth pick. So to look forward to. Sorry, Brennan. Last year, obviously the Pistons were the worst team. Ended up with the fifth pick. Kind of screwed them out of. I mean, the narrative would be so much different around the National Basketball Association if the Pistons got the first pick. I mean, obviously, but like you don't need to be like a genius to understand that. But it's just kind of crazy to think about like what would it be like right now if Wemby was on the Pistons. I think it's better for. I'm sorry to say, especially with Monty Williams and how he's performed with the roster. Mm. I think it's better that he's been coached by Pop. But for sure, definitely, it's like makes you think like what would the landscape be like. Yeah. Josh, do you want to talk about the NBA draft prospects going to deciding to go pro?
Yeah, there's a few as recent as today. Jared McCain, he is projected. Well, I mean, of course, he's entered the NBA draft. Projected number 12 to OKC Thunder via the Rockets. I don't know if I agree with him going that high. I mean, he had a good like ending of the season, but to begin the season was a little rocky. His teammate Kyle Filipowski, sophomore from Duke. I don't really care for him, but at the same time, he was their leading scorer. He's actually projected to go 13th to the Blazers via the Warriors. And I'm looking at these pro comps here. Jared McCain's pro comp is Emmanuel Quickly. Don't agree with that one, but that's okay. I'm not an insider on that. And then, of course, it would be awful not to talk about Rob Dillingham. Moment of silence for him for Kentucky.
I mean, we can't talk about him.
Moment of silence, brother.
What, he dropped like 2 points? That's a NBA prospect right there. When they need him the most, he's dropping 2 points.
Okay, Cook,
how about you shut your mouth, Brandon? Okay.
How about this?
Exactly.
Listen, at least Kentucky fans can look forward to not having these guys who only care. I'm not saying Rob and Reed, especially not Reed, care about the NBA only because Reed had the ties to the state. But we're not going to see guys like who just go one and done anymore. So it's can definitely be, we're not going to see as many people go to the league, that's for sure, from Kentucky, but we're not going to see additionally as many people just care about going to the league. So I think it's important to note that this is probably the last time we'll ever see a lot of people in the NBA draft from Kentucky.
There's not really that many.
there's Reeves, there's who else we have? So we have Antonio Reeves, Rob Dillingham, Reed Sheppard.
Reed Sheppard's not. Hey, whoa, chill out.
Okay, my bad.
Reed Sheppard's coming back, brother.
Okay. So
there's what are we doing here?
Coming back. Okay, and then also there's people that there's also people who think that at some point, if it works out in the combine like private workouts and stuff like that, that Big Z could get drafted. Zvonimir Ivicic. So that's probably out of the picture at this point.
I hope not. I hope he comes back play with.
He's not on any draft boards. He's not on any draft boards, but you know that could happen potentially.
Anyway, Rob Dillingham is slotted to go number 2 to the Wizards. Of course, I mean that's the highest of any NCAA player, and he came off Kentucky's bench. Just to let you know, Brandon. Obviously, he's the GOAT. His pro comp is Darius Garland. All right, go ahead.
Let me ask Brandon a question. So obviously the Pistons are terrible. Sorry. Let's say the Pistons get their rightly deserved number one pick. Isn't it? So it's a top three get the equal chance, right? Which I think is dumb. I think it should be the first pick gets the most percentage. I still think the lottery is good, but
Am I right when I say the first pick and they're the top three have the same chance?
Yeah, I think top three do. Yeah,
which is I don't agree with that, but it kind of, you know, whatever. So
it discourages tanking, though.
Sure, I get that. That makes sense. But for Brandon, I feel bad because let's say Detroit does get the first pick. All right, who would you want out of this? You know, some people are saying it's the weakest draft class of all time. Who would you want?
I mean, I'm just looking, and I guess I would just say Alexander Sarr because...
Bro, what a bum, dude.
Well, if you really think about it, like, the Pistons, we don't need another guard.
Yeah. You guys need a true center.
Right, and this guy...
I thought you had Jared Duran, though. I mean, Jalen Duran.
Yeah, but, I mean, we could move him over. We had to.
You guys need a footer. And Alexander Sarr, I think...
He's 7-1. He's 18.
I think if Josh is just mad that he didn't go to Kentucky like Olivier Sarr, like his brother.
Well, yeah. I mean, we got the worst one. So what do you mean? I would be mad. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Both the, I guess, two of the top like five prospects are from France, international. They didn't go to college in the States, but I think one of the top, at least on the draft boards I'm looking at or have been looking at recently, one of the top college players is either Cody Williams or Dalton Knett, which is kind of telling. Because, I mean, weren't the best. I mean, Dalton Knett is really good at basketball. And I say that as a Kentucky fan. Obviously, he went to Tennessee.
Knett. Don't say Knett. You said Knett.
Is it not Knett? Or is it not Knett?
Knett. It's Knett.
Oh. Dalton Knett is like, he's explosive. He definitely doesn't play like you would think you'd play. He has some explosive plays that you just would not expect, to be honest.
Is he like sneaky athletic?
Okay. He can shoot the three ball really well. He just, you know, kind of shoots tour dates sometimes, which is like his only flaw. He just kind of just starts shooting, which might not be a flaw, dude, because if you can knock him down like Grayson Allen can, I guess Grayson Allen doesn't shoot the highest clip, but if you shoot like Grayson Allen this year, have the insane, just random, insane three-point shooting year, then yes, you can be a great player. I'm not saying he's anything like Grayson Allen, but if he can shoot that ball well, that three ball, I think he can be an actual starter in this league. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of like NBA draft. It's coming up in a couple months here. Then we have the NFL draft coming up, I think, in a couple weeks. So that's something to look forward to. Definitely. Last year, we had our live NFL draft reaction. I don't know if we'll be able to do that this year because it kind of lies up in our finals week for college, but we'll see. And that's pretty much all the main things we have to go talk about today, except for our Feels Good Story of the Week. Don't worry, didn't forget that. That's our weekly thing. Jackson Holiday. Everyone knows him. Well, most people know him. He's the AAA, you know, best prospect for what, the last, Brandon, 4 years, right?
Well, he was drafted first overall pick in 2022, so 2 years.
Well, I think he was still like on a prospect. Like, you know, that the big board for the
obviously, like coming out of high school and everything, yeah. Like, he was, you know, well recognized, well scouted.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty good, but as like the MLB's like number one guy, he's just been in the minors for 2 years. So
gotcha. Okay. And he's been playing for obviously the Orioles, have their insane AAA team, the Norfolk Tides. And it's just it's a ridiculous team, to be honest. If you look at their team and like the prospect ranks that they have, it's pretty crazy. A lot of those guys
think they could beat the A's.
That's what I was saying to Brandon actually before you joined today, but on the Zoom call, Brandon, did I ask that?
You literally said,
do you think they could beat the A's? And Brandon said, what did you say, Brandon?
I said, probably not.
He said, I think he said, like, definitely not. You were more confident than that.
I'm pretty sure I said definitely not. I mean, y'all can't, like, the A's are, like, they're not even the worst team this year. But
what are
like,
the Marlins? Marlins the worst?
It's the Marlins or the White Sox.
White Sox are, I mean, dude, the White Sox are barely an MLB team. I think that they could take two games in a seven-game series. That's my, and maybe that's a no ball knowledge take, but if you look at the guys in there, they're hitting MLB numbers. Like those guys are actually batting like over 300, a lot of those guys. And I know it's the minor leagues, right? Like I'm not like oblivious to that, but those are all like ranked prospects who like are, you know, supposed to hit that in the minors and in the majors. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think that they could take a game or two if they had a good game, really good game. But I mean, Brandon, if you disagree, make sure to tell me because I want to make sure that.
I mean, I don't know. Obviously, like a series like that, let's say like it's like a World Series, seven games. Like, yeah, I would hope they could take like a game. You know, maybe like the A's at the Athletics pitcher like isn't on his A game. You know, where people.
Oh, I get the pun.
But I don't know. I don't see you know, like I'm not like obviously I'm not MLB or in the minors, but like they're in the minors for a reason.
Sure.
So, and that's most of it is just to like, you know, help them grow and.
Well, they spent so much like time developing them. They don't want to bring them out. I mean, the Orioles have, like, honestly, I there's like two different philosophies. You could say they're, you know, you put them in the league right away and you make them adjust, right? That's kind of like the same thing as those guys in college going one and done, just right into the league, because that will make you, you know, when you're facing adversity, it'll make you, help you grow faster. And there's the other philosophy that you put them in there, you train them up so that they're ready once they get to the league. And obviously that's what the Orioles are doing with their top prospects. They're insane prospect farm. But yeah, that's just a little bit about the Orioles system that they got going on. And Jackson Holliday, that's our feels good story of the week. He went into the league, got called up for the first time, first bat at bat, struck out. That's not the feels good part. All right. So don't outrage. That's not the feels good part of the story. The feels good part of the story is that he got a fielder's choice single, you know, a little improvement. Later he got an RBI. So, first, you know, game called up to the majors. I mean, when you're a guy like, Jackson Holliday, you know, all those, you see all those call up videos on YouTube where it's like, oh, you're going to the big league, son. And they're all like freaking out, calling their mom. Jackson Holliday is probably like, about damn time. Obviously he's going to the league. He probably had the least reaction out of anyone who's ever been called up ever. Probably doesn't care. Jeez, that was a voice crack. Probably doesn't care. But yeah, so the Orioles will have the Orioles are going to have a good one for a long time, and hopefully he does well. So that's our feels good story of the week. Jackson Holliday finally getting his chance. And with that being said, I think that's the end of our like major news section. Let's move on to the games of the week. So, Brandon, do you want to do that?
Yeah, man. So, obviously, as y'all know, this is our last week was week one of season three, and Josh chose karaoke as our punishment. And so,
I hate you, Josh.
Last week, we picked some of the March Madness games, baseball and NBA, and Josh went 5-5, you know, 50-50.
I mean, a dog could do that, right? Like, let's say you put two treats out in front of the teams.
You're not talking to the double champ like that.
All right, you're right.
No, you're wrong.
My fault, Mr. Champion.
And me and Coleman, we both went 8-2. Coleman actually was 8-0 and then texted in our group chat, perfect week incoming, ? And then he decided the next two games. So Josh can be mad at him.
He pulled a Brandon at the end of the week. He pulled a Brandon.
Well, obviously not, because Brandon won those two games. Brandon, I mean, yeah, I did pull a Brandon. Selling the end of the week like he did last season. Generational sell, really. I just want to say, going back to last season, that's 2 back-to-back 8-2 weeks. I just want to put that out there. I'm kind of on a little Linsanity run here. Hopefully that continues into week two. And Brandon, what are the games for week two?
So today, obviously on Friday, we have Magic at 76ers.
Oh, wait, Brett, wait, sorry. You didn't even say where you went, right? Did you go?
I said we both went 8-2.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I just want to make sure you got recognition because you had a good week, too.
Yeah, dude. Thank you. You know, some people care. You know,
no, I do.
Bring it down.
Dude, Josh. I care.
Josh is just embarrassed of his 5-5.
No, I care. No, Brandon screwed me over on the baseball games because I went with Brandon because Brandon does know a little bit more than me of baseball. So I was like, I'm going to go with Brandon.
Obviously, I know more.
And then obviously Coleman is like the godfather of baseball at this point. I don't know.
Maybe I did it on purpose. Like, maybe it was sabotage because I knew my other game was locked.
And Josh ended up his record was his height. So 5-5, you know, it wasn't the best week, but hopefully you'll look to improve it next year. So what are the games for this week?
Friday, we have Magic at 76ers, both playoff teams, but we all went with the 76ers here. There's a lot of injuries, as Coleman had said, but...
Embiid,
we believe that the 76ers will come out on top. And our second game on Friday is the Bucks at the Thunder. Again, both playoff teams. We all have the Thunder here. Coleman said that the fight for the number one seed isn't as serious as I thought it was.
It's not. Well, it's just between the Thunder and the Nuggets at this point. Nuggets are like, I think they have like the most odds. I think the Wolves have like a 7.5% chance of getting it just because, like, I think the way it plays out with the tiebreaker scenario, but it's really at this point between the Thunder and the Nuggets, unless they just lose the rest of their games, which are pretty unlikely.
Well, thank you for that, Coleman. And I believe that Giannis is not playing until the playoffs start after he suffered that injury the last game he played. So he is sitting these last couple games. So that's why I went with the Thunder. I believe that's Coleman obviously knew that. Josh knew that. And our last game on Friday we have is the Pelicans at the Warriors. Josh and Coleman went with the Warriors. I went with the Pelicans. You know, you can't stop Zion. He's literally a beast. It's a lock tonight. Make sure you bet all your bet the house on a 40 plus points by Zion.
Shohei, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Shohei.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll let his interpreter do one last bet.
Oh, you did?
You asked his interpreter?
Josh, why did you go with the Warriors, man?
You know, I mean, Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time. It's hard to bet against him, you know, especially like, I mean, they are in the playoffs, but I think he kind of like wants to prove himself one more time before he goes out.
He doesn't care.
But yeah, I don't believe in the Pelicans either. I don't think they have a good perimeter defender. Obviously, they let Book score 50 on him three times this year.
Then he get relegated after that.
He's probably a better shooter. So, yeah, I don't think they have the outside perimeter defense to stop Curry.
W take.
On Saturday, we just have one game. We're going to baseball here. We got Brewers at the Orioles. Josh has the Brewers. Me and Coleman have the Orioles.
Brennan, you know what? I think I know why Josh picked the Brewers. I have a sneaky feeling.
Why?
Well, you know, Baltimore is a long way from Milwaukee, right? So
that's what I was thinking.
That's one thing. And then additionally, I know you pretty well. Listen,
thank you.
And there's just one other aspect about it. And it's
wait, I'm confused. The Orioles are the home team.
Yeah, but Milwaukee's a long ways away.
Okay.
And, you know, it's hard being that far away from home. And his Josh's other reason is that they have a really great pitching staff. So Josh, am I correct?
Yeah, I really believe in the pitching staff of the Brewers. great talent over there. We love to see it. Pumping some hundreds this weekend.
At least.
I don't know if they're regularly on it, but like they're going to be on some special stuff this weekend. Okay? Especially up there in Baltimore. You know, they'll be on the street corners looking for some stuff, and they're going to find it, and they're going to pump 100s. You heard it here first. That's a lock. Shohei,
let's go.
Hit me up.
Let's
Thank
go.
You for that, Josh. Yeah. On Sunday, unless someone else wants to go.
Or no, you got it.
I'm kind of
cooking right now, brother.
Kind of grooving right now.
And you have a good pick.
Sunday, we have the Suns at the Wolves. Josh and Coleman with the Suns here. You know, I've told myself I'm never picking the Suns because when I do, they let me down. So I'm going with the Wolves. And we'll go to the Lakers at the Pelicans.
Wait, no, you didn't say who picked who.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I did. I said you and Josh both picked the Suns, and I went with the Wolves.
Yeah, Coleman's downfalling his own team right here.
I'm hedging.
Per usual.
I'm hedging. I win either way. I lose either way as well.
Congratulations. Look at that. Then we have Lakers at Pelicans. We all have the Pelicans here. I think Josh said that LeBron is washed, and that's why I went with the Pelicans, but I could be wrong.
You're right.
Okay, that's what I thought. And our last game on Sunday, we have Mavs at Thunder. We all have the Thunder. Luka he's doing something very special. Most people think, really by most people, I mean his team believes that he should be the MVP. But I don't know.
He has two games left.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if he drops 100 points each game and the cameras aren't rolling, I'd believe it. But on Monday, we have another baseball game. We have the Texas Rangers at the Detroit Tigers. We all have the Rangers here.
Great pitching staff, I heard. Great pitching staff.
Texas a long way from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really help them in this
to say
game.
But both good teams. Detroit's been struggling to hit. The Rangers are World Series champions, so you know they speak for themselves.
Pitching matchup looks favorable.
Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, our last two games of the week, we have the Padres at the Brewers. Josh went with the Padres. Me and Coleman went with the Brewers. Our last game of the week, we got the Atlanta Braves at the Houston Astros. Josh and Coleman went with the Braves. I went with the Astros. Coleman, why do you believe the Braves will win this one?
So I watched the game last week. We had a game, Astros at the Rangers. I picked the Astros. Brennan and Josh picked the Rangers, and the Astros won. And during that game, I saw that the Astros kind of just had the Rangers rather had a meltdown. Their pitching staff just let like, I think it was like six runs in like the span of two innings, maybe more. I think there was a grand slam somewhere in there. And I just don't see the Astros doing that again. It was kind of looked like a fluke to me, especially, you know, Astros haven't been doing as well as people expected this year. I know it's early in the year, but
I heard they took all the trash cans out
That's you're right. Yeah, they actually banned him from the stadium. So, but I think Atlanta just has better hitting. And I look the pitching matchup on ESPN. I think they just updated it to show who the Braves were pitching. It's still not there. But I think who would it be? Who pitched last game? Anyway, I think that the matchup works favorably for the Braves, especially since the Astros are a fluke team. So.
Yeah, since I'm on the Braves bandwagon too, you know, great pitching staff over there.
Oh, brother.
Bats are hot. One of the greatest teams, probably, maybe, MLB history, I'm going to say.
Can someone take his mic away?
Brandon, why do you think the Astros will win? Just for some insight.
I think the Astros will win only because the Braves, after Spencer Strider, I believe, might be out for the season. He has to have, like, an MRI on his elbow. I just don't think the Braves pitching staff is actually as good as Josh makes them out to be. And I think
don't do that. Okay. The pitching staff's there. Okay.
Well, clearly you don't know. Josh is actually an MLB ex pitching staff.
I was a pitching coach at one time.
Yeah. So
okay.
Hopefully Morgan Wallen won't throw any chairs if Tennessee, you know, releases him from the jail in time to see the game. So there's that.
Josh said this game's a lock, so there's really nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is like the greatest team of all time. Let's just put it out there. I mean, they're gonna win the World Series, a clean sweep, no losses in the playoffs.
Yep. Every time.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm thinking.
You know, take it one game at a time. I think the Braves might go 162-0. Is that what you guys are thinking?
No, well, they're already 7-4. So you.
Well, well,
I was going to say 158-4 because, like, they do have to rest their players sometimes.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
They did that early.
And they did that, yeah. All the way. But now they're really well rested.
Yeah. They're ready to go.
For sure. All right. And with that being said, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Wild Cards Podcast. Once again, I'm one of your hosts, Coleman Mathlin. I was joined here today with my two fellow co-hosts,
Joshua Sykes,
Brandon Hartke.
That being said, peace. Have a great week.
Peace.
Peace.